There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me, and this is how I fight my battles. There's a table. There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me, and this is how I fight my battles. I believe it. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I. In the valley, I know that you're with me. And surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanks. And this is how I fight my battles. Come on, in the valley. In the valley, I know that you're with me. And surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles. I believe it. And I believe you've overcome. And I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight. This is how I. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I. Oh, this is how I fight with praise and worship. Yeah. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how I.
is how we fight our battles, and this is how I, oh, this is how we fight our battles, oh, this is how we fight our battles, oh, this is how we fight our battles, and this is how I, with praise and worship to the King of Kings, this is how we fight, not with weapons, but with praise and adoration to our King. This is how we fight, yes. Hallelujah. It's my victory. It's my victory's in Jesus' name. And my victory's in Jesus' name. Declared in this place. And my victory's in Jesus' name. Yes, it is. And my victory's in Jesus' name. Oh, my victory's in Jesus' name. In the blood of the Lamb. And my victory's in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Our victory is in your name. It's in your blood that was shed for us, God. We are victorious because you are victorious. You are surrounding us. God, I just pray that you would strengthen your body today. You would strengthen us from the inside out, from the deep place in our spirit, God, that hope would arise today. Hope would arise in this place.
Jesus, and all hail this. Worshiping in your own way today. I'll hail the King of Kings from your lips. Let your worship arise from your heart today. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing. Spirit of the Lord is here. His evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. And overflow in this place and fill our hearts with your love. Your love is surrounding. The reason we came and to encounter your love is surrounds us. The atmosphere is changed. Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence promises all around, that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place and fill our hearts with your love. Your love, it surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love, it surrounds us.
Is all around,
that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Yes, it is. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow one more time.
And overflow in this place, and fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just in your own voice before we end worshiping, let's just acknowledge His presence. As we worship you, Father, we don't have to have words to a specific song. What's the cry of your heart? We love you, Lord. Father, you are so good. You are such a good Father. We couldn't have asked for a better Father. We couldn't have asked for a better God. We love you, Lord. We surrender our lives to you to give you glory, Jesus. It's not about man. It's not about us. But your heart be expressed and your agenda be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. That's our heart cry. So we just bless you and we honor you in this place. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, everything just stopped. Amen. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. We have a little bit of interference because of feeding a signal to the back of the church. I'm going to move this here. It's in the way right now, but it won't be here in a minute. It's my pleasure to introduce you tonight from the, is it correct, the Dallas-Fort Worth area? I won't tell them your address. But you know what? If anything, he doesn't hide from anybody, so that's a... you know, an honest issue. It's my pleasure to introduce you tonight, Robbie Dawkins. He's come here to just join us, to impart to us, to just share with whatever the Lord's put on his heart for here in Indiana, in central Indiana, in the Martinsville area. And so I just want to give you, I don't want to take up any more time than necessary, but I want to just give you a quick encouragement. You know, I was just reading an itinerary. I told this to Robbie earlier. I was reading an itinerary of what he was getting ready to go do, just a bulletin point of times, dates, and places. And as I was reading that, I just started weeping. And I've told you guys this before if you go to Spirit of Life Church. And I was just weeping, and I just teared up. And I said, Lord, the fruit that's coming through this ministry, it should not be a solitary event. This fruit is for all Christians. And if you come here at any length of time, we've been preaching on it. We've been speaking to you about it. And just encourage you even greater and in an even better way, we've invited Robert to come. So please welcome him as he comes up to minister to us this evening.
Dad with technology right now. My dad, he's in heaven now, and so he's very happy because there's no more remote controls to have to deal with. I'm sure he was always struggling with remote controls, and pretty much every electronic device existed. See, that was just another example of my struggle, and that's not even a piece of technology. Man, you guys look good. Wow. I'm impressed. Look around at yourselves. Okay, you're not convinced. Take my word for it. You look good. Good looking group of people. It's great to be here, and I am excited. I love being in places where people are hungry for more of the Lord, more of the Spirit of God, and that is clear by just meeting with two of your pastors here. That just that there's a real hunger, a real passion, and that you know is a passion for you to go deeper into the things of the Lord. And so it's always a privilege when you come and you partner with that. And so I haven't come to bring you anything. I've come to join what the Holy Spirit's already doing here. Because when I used to go to countries that were like, that my kids knew nothing about, they would say things like, you know, Lord, as dad takes Jesus, you know, to Iran, or takes Jesus to Armenia, or takes Jesus to, you know, these places, I was always like, guys, dad's not taking Jesus there. Jesus has been there for about 2,000 years. Working, even if they weren't aware of it, he was there pursuing them. Jesus has been actively in pursuit of that, of every nation in the entire world for 2,000 years now. And so, you know, whenever we go, we're just participating. We're just joining in with what Jesus is already doing. And that also applies to you going to work. You're not taking Jesus. You're joining him. He's already there. He's already working in people's lives. You're just helping them discover where he's working. And what is actually, that is him doing it, and you're just participating, and you're joining in. Doesn't that take the pressure off? It takes the pressure off. But it also puts the pressure on, you know, say, do it. You know, you got to do it. You got to go for it. Listen, we have some resources. I hope I'm pointing the right direction, Michelle, back there. We have a resource table. My wife, when we made this, she wanted to make the tablecloth say, Uplifters for Life. And I'm like, yeah. That's your table. And you put butterflies and flowers on it all you want. Mine is called a power tool table because I'm a guy. And you can do the Uplifters for Life thing if you want to, but I'm not going there. And so anyway, our power tool table is back there. And my first book, Do What Jesus Did, the premise of the book is Jesus didn't come to show us what he could do as the Son of God. He came to show us what we could do. Every miracle, every message, everything that Jesus was doing was demonstrating how we can live and how we're supposed to live. He did not come, according to Philippians chapter 2, he did not come in his superhero God powers. The scripture says he put those aside, he left those in heaven, he made an arrangement with the Father, left that in heaven, he came as a normal human being, and who was the source of his power? Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that you have. So if you have Christ living in you, right, and you have Holy Spirit, then you have all the ingredients living inside of you to do the exact same miracles Jesus did. What are we missing? Activation. We have to activate. Anybody get a debit card or a credit card? Anybody have one of those? Do they have those in Indiana? Okay, I'm just looking. You're kind of looking at me like a calf staring at a new fence right now. Debit cards? Credit cards? I'm like, let's go back to the technology. You think about the remote control. I'll explain that one later if that one bypasses. So here, whenever you get one of those cards, what does it do? It says, there's a sticker on there that says, you must activate this. If you don't activate it, you can't use it. It doesn't work. It doesn't do any good. So you have power and authority sitting there waiting to be activated. And you're not waiting for God. You're like, why doesn't God call me to this? He did. Just start doing it. Amen. Just start activating it. And hopefully this weekend will be, my goal is to help you understand that activation process. And so that's my passion. My passion is not to come here and do a lot of really cool signs and wonders that you go away and talk about. My goal is for to activate you doing those signs and wonders. My passion, I've been able to watch the three, you know, make the 3-point shots long enough. I'm just saying that because I'm in Hoosier country right now. Trying to contextualize. We call that emissions contextualization right there. But to make the 3-point shots now, you know what my greatest joy is? Passing you the ball and watching you make that shot. That's where my joy is now. And so anyway, this book is talking about all the things of how to do that, how to step into that, how to activate, how to release all the power and authority that God has already given to you. It's there. It's ready. It's waiting for you to activate it. And so this is a book of activation. Every one of the books back there are books of activation. And we have a field guide. Almost happened again. A field guide that goes with the book. This is like going to school, man. This really is. And it's filled with every day, every lesson is a new activation. Because again, that's what we're missing, you know, is that. It's got a DVD that goes with it. So this is like, they go together really well. Or if you just read, some people are like, I'm not a reader. And I understand that because I'm not even, my wife reads for fun. I'm like just pleasure? Yeah. Like we'll go you know, to another country, and she's like, oh good, I'm gonna get to read two books on this flight. And I'm like, two books on this flight? Like, I'm one of those I have to force myself to read. I know I'm not impressing you right now by saying all that, but that's not my goal. My goal is not to impress you. I have to force myself to read. But for her, she just does it out of pleasure, you know. So she's one of those people they call smart. So that's why she does that. And then we have, this is a teaching that we have that is called Living the Risk. And this is a DVD that talks about how to step out. Do you guys know how to spell faith? R-I-S-K. Faith is risk. We're going to talk a lot about that this week. But this is a teaching that I did not far from here in Pennsylvania. Maybe that is far from here. I'm not sure. At one state over, right? Is that right? Yeah. So anyway, it's a teaching that I did talking about how to live risk as a lifestyle, how to step that out. We'll be talking some about that, but this is a particular teaching that's on that. Empowered Evangelism is a six, this is a six DVD set. I know it looks just like one film, but it actually has six DVDs inside of there. And this is about 8 hours of training on healing, prophetic deliverance, ministry of manifest presence, all for the purpose of bringing people to Christ. Basically, all of this stuff is like teaching you to live the book of Acts, not just believe in it, but live it. And so, and then have you guys heard of Randy Clark? Randy Clark, that's Randy is one of my main mentors in my life. He's a dear, he actually bought me this t-shirt. He really did. I love this t-shirt because of that. But he actually did give me the t-shirt. Like that, you don't care, but I do. Empowered to Heal is a seven DVD set of some of Randy's best stuff on healing that is specifically targeted evangelism. And my best messages on healing, targeting for evangelism, all in one set. So we have those back there for you. And then we also have these USB drives. The black drives have all the audio teachings that are back at that table, plus some that aren't. And it ends up being about a third of the cost versus you buying all the sets. And then the silver drives are all the video teachings that are back there that, again, makes it about a third of the cost. And when you get one of these, you're getting three of them that will go to the Middle East, that go to help us train and equip leaders throughout the Middle East. If you don't know about our ministry, that's a massive part. We know that the Lord's given us the tools to see that truly transform. This is one of my favorite t-shirts. This is an extra, extra small. It says large, but I still say it's extra, extra small. But this is our Take a Toll t-shirt. And I'm gonna tell you a little bit about this tonight, because we in our church, when I was pastoring in Aurora, Illinois, and we planted a church there in the Chicagoland area, in the western suburb of Chicago. And when we were there, we were just, man, the Latin Kings were ruling our city. I mean, they really were. I mean, crime, there was blood running in the streets almost every day. It was bad. We were just seeing, you know, so much loss of life and terrible crime. And so we began to pray and say, Lord, give us a strategy to see our city, you know, recaptured and taken back. And so the Lord gave us a plan, and I'm going to explain that here in a little bit, but I'm going to read the back of this because this sort of lays it out for you. But it says, if the devil attacks you, he's going to have to pay for it. If he hits you, go and pray for people, lead them to Christ. Pray for healing and make the enemy regret he ever messed with you. You know what that's called? The revenge of God. You see, that's how God gets revenge. Is whenever the enemy comes against you, you go out and you minister to other people. And it's how he went. And the Lord showed this to me one day when I was just reading the passage of where Jesus, when he hears about John the Baptist being beheaded. And it says that when Jesus gets the news, he goes across the lake. He's mourning. He's grieving. This is his cousin. It's also, Jesus says, the greatest of all the prophets. And so he's in double grief over that. And it says that he went across the lake and he finds a secluded place and begins to mourn. He's grieving. And it says, but the throng, you know, the crowd found out where he was. They came across the lake. They found where he was. And they came to him. And it says, Jesus, when he saw the crowd, he was moved with compassion and he healed them all. And I was reading that passage and I said, Lord, what was happening there? And he said, revenge. You see, that's God's style of revenge. That's how God gets revenge. He doesn't like, you know, destroy and obliterate, you know, places, but how God gets revenge is by going and doing the work of the kingdom. I'll break that down for you a little bit more. But anyway, we have these for you back there. Who wears an extra small, but you have an L on your shirt, and that you would really promise that you'll wear this t-shirt and explain it to people as they ask, and you won't make me choose, but you'll just come up here so I don't have to choose amongst all of you. See, the hungry get it. There you go, right there. And then who wants to do what Jesus did? White? No, don't delay. Yeah, run. That's the time to do that. All right. Where's Michelle? There's Michelle. All right. Here we go. Now, I am barking in a basket. What? Oh, okay. All right, thank you. I promise I heard there's barking in the basket. Those are the words I heard right there. That's how that came across. Again, that's the remote control thing that's going. Turn with me in your Bible to Mark 16. Michelle, who was just up here, Michelle and her husband Mark, reading the book name reminded me to, I should have introduced her. Michelle and her husband Mark were missionaries in Turkey for 16 years. And if you don't know, Turkey is one of the most, has the least amount of Christian population in the world. 82 million people, only 6,000 Christians. It's one of the smallest in the entire world, and they faithfully serve there. For those of you who follow my social media, her daughter Allie was my assistant. She's graciously filling in, but Allie was in a horrific ATV accident and did not survive that accident, and so. So here's the thing, like, we're out for revenge. Listen, too much of the time in the church, we just sort of sit back, and I hate the statement. I can't stand it. My chiropractor said it when I went to see him, and he knew we were going through this, and he said, he goes, well, we just can't do anything about it when God takes him home. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, God did not take her home. She's home. But God did not snatch her up and take her home. And so the enemy, if the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, there's a way to stop that. And what happened, and let me say this before we get into that passage. But what happened is that when the enemy, and we'll, it, just so you can find it back there, it'll be in 15, verse 15 is where I'll start. And I'm reading from the NLT. In case that's helpful for you back there. But what happened, let me just say this to lay the foundation for where we're going tonight. But what we began to do is I began to pray and I said, Lord, give us a strategy to see the crime that is holding our city hostage. And seeing that's the enemy holding our city hostage. How do we break that? And the Lord began to speak to me, and he began to tell me, listen, you know, there is a strategy that's there, but I want you to study and take a look at the tribe of Gad and study the Gadites. And so I started going through scripture, and I started reading everything about Gad and what, you know, was said to the Gadites, the sons of Gad. And I began to find some really interesting things. So when Israel, their father, was blessing each one of the leaders, the patriarchs of the tribes, and he got to Gad, he says to him, he says, the enemy, your enemy will come in and grab you by the heel, but you will turn and grab him by the throat. Now, as a man, I love it when the Bible talks like that. You know what I mean? I mean, you may like the Pollyanna version, but I like it when the Bible talks like, you know. I like it when it looks a little more, forgive me if this offends you, more Braveheart than Pollyanna. I'm more on that side of when the scripture looks like that, okay? And so that's one of those passages where it says that. And so all of a sudden, you know, I said, how does that work? What does that mean? And so the Gadites, I kept reading and kept searching this out. The Gadites, what would happen is when the enemy would come in on their territory, they would come in and they would steal their things. They would pillage them or whatever, take their property. Before they left the territory, the Gadites would pursue them and they would capture them. They would take back all their possessions that they had stolen from them. And then they would do this thing called extract a toll. They would make them pay a toll for crossing their territory. And so they would make the enemy pay for crossing their land. And they would extract a toll. Now, I was like, okay, Lord, how does that work? How do we, you know, do we go out and find all these gang members and make them pay out of their pocket, you know? And the Lord said, keep reading. And so when you see David blessing, you know, are the different tribes that come in when David's being made king. And it goes through the descriptions. When it gets to the Gadites, it says this tribe, they were good with the javelin. This one was good with the sword. This one was good with the shield. They were good with all these various weapons of war. But when it gets to the Gadites, it says they were equipped with every weapon of war. So the Gadites were walking warfare. They were not just people that were just stepping out and just knew one element, that they were just good with the sword or good with the spear or good with the shield, but they were good with everything. And so I was like, okay, Lord, how does that apply to our cities? How does that apply? And he said, keep reading. And so I began to read, when I read that portion about how that they would go, they would pursue the enemy and extract the toll, I said, Lord, show me what does that mean? How does that apply to us in our city? And he said, well, ask the gang members that you've led to Christ and ask them, how did they retaliate? And I was like, well, I think I know how they retaliated, and I don't think you want us to retaliate the same way they retaliate. He said, just go ask. And so I sat these guys down and I said, how would you, you know, if a rival gang came in your territory, how would you respond? Whatever they did, how did you respond? And they would say, oh, that's easy. They killed one of ours, we killed three of theirs. If they stole 10,000 of ours, dollars, we stole 30,000 of theirs. If they raped one of our women, we raped three of theirs. Whatever they did to us, we did three times that to them. And then the Spirit just dropped it in me, and I said, that's it. That's what we're doing. And they were like, we're going to kill people in this church? They were like, we love this church. And I was like, no, we are not going to kill people in this church. I said, but what we're going to do is every time there's a violent crime, we're going to the very block that it happened on, and we're taking three. Every time there's a violent crime, every time there's a robbery, every time we're going to the very block, and we're going to bring at least three people to Christ at that very block, we are going to start making the enemy pay for crossing our territory. Now, let me tell you something. That strategy works everywhere in the world. I was in Samara, Russia. And in Tagalog, Russia. And I shared that strategy. They implemented it that very weekend. And there was a guy that was going around. They had these stabbings all over the city. Like, there were so many people getting stabbed and killed through stabbings. And the youth group went out and applied this. And within 3 weeks, they all stopped. All the stabbings stopped within 3 weeks. I'm telling you, this works all over the world. Imagine that strategy, how that works with the underground church throughout radical Muslim countries in the Middle East. It works. It's powerful. And guess what? It works right here. So whatever is happening, whatever is going on, use that as a strategy. So we began to do that. That we began to go to those areas, and all of a sudden, crime began to drop. Our chief of police calls me on the phone, Greg Thomas, and he says, Robbie, because I was a part of the gang task force, and I was also a police chaplain, and he said, Robbie, he said, what are you doing in these areas? He says, we're noticing that as we, you know, as soon as there's a violent crime. And I asked him, I said, why are you asking? He says, because typically wherever there's a violent crime, crime escalates in that area. It will escalate within several blocks around that area. They said, but we're noticing you and your guys going in. And they said, as soon as that has happened, crime is dropping immediately in the area. And they said, how is this working? What are you doing? He said, are you doing your own investigations? And I was like, no, we're not that sharp. But trust me, that's not our gig. That's your gig. That's not our gig. And I explained to him what we're doing. And he goes, no, really, what are you doing? And I was like, no, that's it. That's what we're doing. He goes, that doesn't make any sense. I said, because you don't understand the kingdom of God. Greg's just a nominal Catholic guy. He didn't grasp what we were talking about. And you know, and what happens is this. You see, the kingdom of God is upside down. Everything works in reverse. This is a kingdom where love is a weapon of mass destruction. This is a kingdom where peace is a weapon of mass destruction. We think those things are like the little Pollyanna things. They are not. They are weapons of war. And so when we respond with love, when we respond with compassion, when we respond with grace, when we respond with kindness, we are actually, those are bunker busters of the spirit. Why? Because when Jesus went into, what was Jesus' mission statement? I came to destroy the works of the evil one, right? How did he destroy the works of the evil one? By healing the sick. By raising the dead. By casting out demons. That's how he destroyed the works of the evil one. Those are weapons of war. Healing is war. Prophecy is war. Speaking the gospel, your testimony is an act of war. Because it's powerful. Trust me, read Revelation 10. It is an act of war. It will destroy the works of the evil one. So when Jesus comes in and he is doing these things, he's destroying the works of the devil. And this is the reason why Satan doesn't want anybody getting healed, because his whole point is to make everybody die. His point is to bring destruction. But we began to see crime drop, and it began to drop so significantly. This is in the first chapter of that book, Do What Jesus Did. It explains what happened in our city. But crime dropped so significantly until we literally, the police department, crime began to drop until the police department, they laid off a third of the police staff because police officers were complaining of being bored. Because so little client, you have to understand, Aurora was one of the top 10 most dangerous cities in the nation. Not just, and I'm not talking about as a part of Chicago, I'm talking about on its own. Was one of the top 10 most dangerous cities in the entire nation. And it began to drop so significantly what had happened was that the gang members began to threaten to a war, that they were going to start a war. See, in gang lingo, fear means respect. So when they say, I got to get my respect, it means if you don't fear me, you don't respect me. The only way you respect me is if you fear me. You see, because that's Satan's strategy of respect. And so they were losing respect because nobody was afraid of them anymore. So they wanted to get back their respect. So they were threatening that in 2012, it would be the bloodiest year in all of Aurora's history. They were going to kill more people that year than they'd ever killed in any of the previous years. And they were threatening this. They were putting that word out everywhere. The police knew it. Everybody knew it. And so we decided that at the end of 2011 that we were going to call the top leaders of the Latin Kings throughout the Chicagoland to come in and sit down with us to talk to us. And they were actually afraid to come to that meeting. If you saw the movie Father of Lights, you saw that meeting happen. You saw, I mean, it was edited, so it was about an hour and a half long. You only get to see about 15 minutes of it. But we brought them in, and these guys came in. They were scared because they had heard so many testimonies about healing. They had had so many of their members come to Christ and start coming to church that it actually scared them. The signs and wonders really scared them. And so they were afraid to come and meet with us. Took me 2 years to get that meeting for them to come in. And they came into our church. We sat down with them in our church. And what ended up happening was just absolutely miraculous. When they walked in the door, they looked at us and they started threatening us by telling us all of these horrific crimes that had happened in and around our area. They were pointing out bullet holes in the church building where they had shot at people that hit the building of the church. And that was them threatening us. That was them saying, if you don't do what we like here, we're going to come and do it again. And they were talking about, we dropped a guy on the front lawn of your church, which means they killed somebody on the front lawn of the church. And I was like, I know. And I stopped and I looked at them and I said, why do you think we've invited you here? And they looked at me and they said, because you're trying to stop a war that we're going to start, that we're starting. And you're afraid and you want to stop that war. And I said, nope, that's not why I've invited you here. And they said, why have you invited us here? I said, to introduce you to Jesus. And they grabbed their crucifixes and they said, we know who Jesus is. I said, not the way you're about to meet him. I said, because you're about to meet Jesus in a way that you've never met him before. And I said, because you don't know the Jesus that you're about to meet. And they said, no, we've met him. And so we started praying for them. I and my friend Todd White, we began to pray and minister to them. They began to get healed. They began to, we had words of knowledge for them. We're prophesying to them. And there in that meeting, we saw, you know, three of the top most dangerous guys throughout the entire city of Chicago that right then and there gave their lives to Christ because of what they were experiencing. One of the main guys, Sam, if you see the movie, he's a guy with big dark glasses on. He kept jumping up and flipping his chair around and looking. And I said, what are you looking for? And he goes, this chair has got to be wired. And I'm like, there's cameras around. We have microphones on. What do you mean everything's wired? And he goes, no. There's got to be wires going to this chair. And I said, why? And he's pulling the paper on the bottom of the chair off to see if there's a battery pack. And I said, why are you doing that? He says, because I'm feeling electricity surge through my body as you're praying for me. There's got to be electricity hooked up to this chair. And I leaned into him and I said, Sam, I said, that's Jesus saying, how do you do? I said, that's Jesus introducing himself to you and inviting you into a relationship. And right then and there, we saw these guys give their lives to Jesus. Now, the end of that story, we went a full calendar year. All of 2012, we went a full calendar year without one homicide in one of the top 10 most dangerous cities in the nation. A full calendar year. That made the front page of the Chicago Tribune. It made front page of papers. It was on Fox. It was on CNN. It was on all the other fake news channels that are out there, too. It hit them all. That was the only real news that they had that day, probably. But it hit all of them, and we ended up seeing that whole city change and transform, and the Chicago Trib put on the front page, they said, Aurora is, and they don't understand this language like you and I do, they called it the transformation city because of the change that had happened in that year. Those guys, you know, one of those guys is now an elder in that church. The other two turned themselves in and served prison sentences and went to the police and confessed to crimes that they had committed. I mean, it was an incredible transformation of what God done. And why? Because the kingdom of God, again, it's the upside down kingdom. This strategy works in every situation, every part of your life, if you'll apply that and if we'll walk that out. I'm totally changing scriptures on you. Okay, turn to Exodus 33. You guys okay? Am I boring you? If I'm boring you, we'll read from the book of Numbers. As in the whole book. So we either do this or read from the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers is one of the best sleeping pills on the planet. There's also some great scripture there too. Now listen, in verse 33, now Moses is a fascinating character. You know, Moses is this incredible character in scripture because, you know, there's this prophetic promise over his life. Pastor, would you toss me that water right there? Just wanted to thank you, sir. He has this incredible prophecy about liberating his people from slavery and captivity. And so, oh, there's one right there. Okay, cool. And so he's amazing. But Moses is, he grew up. Now, if you were trying to protect somebody from being murdered, where would you put them in proximity to the person who's trying to kill them? As far away as possible, right? Am I right? You try to get them as far away to protect them, right? Let me show you the genius of God. God puts Moses in the home of the very guy who's trying to murder him to protect him, to raise him, to pay for his education, probably the finest education in the entire world, certainly the finest education in Egypt, to raise him as a prince. This is the guy who's trying to murder him. That's the genius of God. His ways are truly higher than our ways. He thinks far higher than we do. Now, Moses is in this, he's in this place, and he puts his hand to the thing that he knows he's called to. He goes, he sees a Jewish slave being mistreated. He goes after this Egyptian guy who's beating him and hurting him, and he ends up killing him. And that's him putting his hand to what he's called to do. But again, he's using the strategy that, you know, that is of the natural strategy and not the upside down kingdom. Think about it from that perspective. And what ends up happening is Moses has to flee for his life. So he's out in the desert. So here's a guy who grew up in palaces, and now he's on the backside of the desert watching sheep. Have any of you ever watched sheep? There is no more boring job. I've been in many countries. I've ministered in 72 different countries around the world. I've been in many of them where they watch sheep. There is no more boring job in the entire world than watching a bunch of sheep. And this is where Moses is reduced. He's gone from a palace to watching a bunch of sheep and goats out in the middle of the desert. I mean, his good day is finding a shiny pebble in the middle of the desert. You know what I mean? And so, you know, and farmers, like, weird things excite farmers. My grandfather was a farmer and a pastor, and you know, we would be at his table, and he was talking, he was a dairy farmer, and he was excited over the bowel movements of the cattle. I'm like, I don't want any more mashed potatoes now, thank you, because you're talking about the bowel movements of the cattle, you know, but they talk about weird stuff. And so Moses has gone, again, from a palace down to watching sheep. And then one day, you know the story, he sees a flicker in the distance, he begins to pursue it. A fire in the desert would not have been an unusual thing, but he notices something different about this. He approaches it and finds out it's actually God. He's actually attracted to a manifestation of God, of who God is. Keep that in mind, because God's manifestations are very attractive. And so he goes there, and of course, you know the story. God tells him, go back, use signs and wonders. Why? Because signs and wonders are God's calling card. That is how he says, I'm God, I'm here, this is who I am, are signs and wonders. That's how he demonstrates that he is God, okay? And so he goes back, and you know the story. Pharaoh's heart's hardened. He's not really receptive. And then finally, he ends up relenting. And if you take a look, and this is really important to understand, because what is happening in Exodus with all of the plagues that are happening in Egypt, we see that as God sort of smiting Egypt. But the truth is what God is doing is he is exposing the gods of Egypt as being fake news. true. He's exposing it as being false, that they are false gods. How do we know that? Because all of Egypt believed that the Nile River, they said that all life came from the Nile River. They believed that the Nile was the source of life. And so God's like, the Nile's not the source of life. I'm the source of life. So what does he do? What does scripture say? Life is in the blood. So what does he do? He turns the Nile into blood. He's demonstrating that he is the source of life, that it is not the Egyptian gods. The Egyptians worshipped their god. The image of the god of fertility was a frog. And so God's like, you want to worship frogs? I'll give you a lot of frogs to worship. More frogs than you can handle. On and on and on it goes. They worshipped their cattle. They were a source of life, so all of the cattle start dying. They worshipped Ra, the sun god. And so what happens? All of Egypt is in darkness except the land of Goshen, which is the only place that has light. And let me just point this out as a parallel. We just had two political parties who had national... By the way, if I offend you by saying any of this, am I offending anybody by saying any of this? Okay, stick with me. We'll get there. I'll get you there in a minute probably. It's not, the night's not over yet. But we just had two political parties, one clearly shining and talking every night, opening with prayer, talking about God, and the other starting off with, I don't even know who that chick is with the bright yellow hair and what that was and what all of that demonstration was. And I'm sitting there going, if this is not the stark contrast of darkness and light, it is clearly demonstrating land of Goshen, land of darkness. It is a clear distinction of that, and it's still happening, and all of it originated right there in that time. So what God was doing is he was exposing the gods of Egypt as false gods, as gods that are not real, they are fake, they are false, and it's a lie. And that's how he's exposing it. And so, and again, how does he do that? Through signs and wonders. Because it demonstrates, it tears the veil, and it reveals what truly the source is. Does that make sense? All right, there. A few of you there. Okay, cool. So all of a sudden, this is what is happening. And then finally, he takes the children of Israel out. He leads them out. They're in the wilderness. And all of a sudden, they're going through the wilderness, and the children of Israel decide that they're going to make a golden calf to worship, right? Right? Yes. All right, yeah. Don't act like you're in church right now. Act like we're having a conversation in your living room. Just don't interrupt me while I'm talking, okay? But engage with me, okay? I pastored in the hood way too long to, like, you know, be super formal about stuff. But what began to happen is that as they make this golden calf, and it offends the heart of God. Why? Because they're in pursuit of his, again, my ghetto talk here, in pursuit of his bling rather than him. If you get to the point where you're after God's bling, danger. It'll offend his heart, because then you're saying, I only want your hand. I'm not interested in your face. Don't go for the bling. Go for him. So all of a sudden, Moses sits here, and Moses is, he God's heart's offended. And so here's the word that comes in Exodus 33, and God's response to that, okay? Are you guys awake? Did I put you to sleep or something? All right, listen to this. The Lord said to Moses, get going, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt. I'm sure Moses is sitting there going, yeah, that was not my idea. Just let me go on record saying that. Go up to the land that I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them I would give them this land to you and to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, a bunch of otherites. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I will not travel among you. In other words, God's saying, go get the provision you're interested in because you're not interested in me. Just go take my stuff, but I'm not coming with you because clearly you don't want me, you want it. But I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people, and if I were to travel with you,
I would surely kill all of you. Can you imagine getting that prophetic word? Just put your hands out and receive that. I mean, you know, our fear is getting a word of mediocrity. You know, Lord wants you to know, he thinks you're so-so. And you, sister, he says you're pretty average and you're okay as average. And you, you're just okie dokie. We're like, that's a bad night of prophecy, right? Worse than that is this, I can't even be with you or I'd kill you all. I can't even be close to you or I would destroy you. I mean, that is a bogus, that this is not the prophetic word you want to get. This is a terrifying prophetic word. I mean, think about it. So all of a sudden, what do? When they hear this word? They go into mourning. Why? Because they're terrified. You know, this is the Bruce Almighty, smite or don't smite us. You know, this is the terror thing of don't come and strike us, don't. And so what happens is they move away in fear, and they're like, no, no, no. They're terrified of him. Now, if you want to win somebody back, this is not the way to do it, but this is what gangs want. Why? Because they're on the other side. They're from a kingdom of darkness. And so they're motivated by fear. God doesn't want that response from his people. And so they're moving in fear. They're moving in the response to that. And why? Because everybody has a kingdom lens that they see through. And there's only two kingdom lenses. There's either the kingdom of God lens or the kingdom of darkness lens. You will either see through God's kingdom lens or Satan's kingdom lens based on how you see things. We have a lot of people in our society right now that are getting a lot of attention on the news that are seeing through Satan's kingdom lens. But there is God's kingdom lens. And God has a perspective. And it's based on how you see it. The children of Israel are seeing it from Satan's kingdom lens perspective. And so what happened? So here's an example. You invite some unbelieving or people from other faith to come to church here. They walk in the room and they see you excited, worshiping, kind of maybe a little bit expressive or a little bit crazy. And they're like, this is bad. Anybody identify? The rest of us are like, this is heaven. Why? Because we're seeing through God's kingdom lens. They're seeing, and they could be have been in church all their life. But they're seeing through Satan's kingdom lens. There's only two. Now, the truth is, there is only one kingdom. Right? Because in order to have a king, in order to have a kingdom, you have to have a king. We have the king, therefore we have the kingdom. At best, all they have is a principality because they have nothing more than a prince. But we say kingdom because scripture gives that as a parallel communication. So stick with me on that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So all of a sudden, so let me show you a little video. And this is, were you able to find the Hindu? Okay. We're going to show you a little video. This is a girl who came to one of my meetings, and then I'm going to tell you a personal story of my seeing through another kingdom lens. But this was a girl who came. I was speaking. I was invited to a Southern Baptist church in the southern part of Texas in a place called Kingsville, and it was called Kingsville University Southern Baptist Church. Now, it's a small little church, and they wrote and they said, you probably won't come because we don't have very many. We're only 85 people. And I told the person who does my bookings, I said, I will pay them to go to a Southern Baptist church. Are you kidding me? The answer is yes. You know, of course. And so we went to this Southern Baptist church, and there was a lot of Indian students because it was right across the street from the university there in Kingsville. And so there was a lot of university students there, and a lot of them were Indian. And so this one girl, several of her Hindu friends who had converted to Christianity because in the meeting, they came on Friday night, they got powerfully impacted, gave their lives to Christ. They went back, they told her, and she's like, I got to warn them because they're getting into deception. I need to help them straighten out their theology and come back to Hinduism. And so she came that night, and I remember watching this particular girl. For some reason, you can always kind of sense, you know, oh, the Holy Spirit's going to really touch that person for some reason. I didn't know her story, didn't know anything about it. I was just kind of like, oh, I think the Holy Spirit's going to touch her. And all of a sudden, she was standing, and then she just starts going backwards. Nobody touched her. Nobody laid a finger on her. She just starts going, and these Southern Baptist people, they don't know what to do. They're like, whoa, whoa, get out of the way. Bam! She hits the floor, and they're like, they didn't even know to help her or to help her down or anything like that, because that's just not in their context. But when you watch this video, she never even felt it. She never even knew what happened to her. But you want to see what takes place? Okay, so this is her retelling her story, but go ahead if you can put that out.
Hey guys, so I have my friend Sanjanya here, and she has an amazing story tonight. Tonight we saw the power. Hey guys, so I have my friend Sanjanya here, and she has an amazing story tonight. Tonight we saw the power of the Holy Spirit fall here at University Baptist Church. And Sanjanya, tell us what happened to you.
I'm Sanjanya, as Robbie is telling. And I was an idol worshiper before, but now, today, I felt the presence of Jesus. And when my friends was asking me to pray only Jesus, I was like, no, please, don't tell me that. Because there's a spirit, and only one spirit. And we people have given so many names to that spirit, and we call it as Jesus, that, this, and all. But now I say, and I declare, there is only one God, that is Jesus. There is only one God. Amen. And I'll never take my word back. I'll follow Jesus a lot. I'll follow Jesus in future. Thank you, Lord.
And
thank
what you happened so much. To you? What happened to you tonight?
Actually, I came to the University Baptist Church today in the evening, and I was like, I was not having any single reason to cry. And my friends were telling that if you felt the presence of God, you'll start crying. I was like, no, what they're telling, please. And now today, when Robbie was praying, and I felt the presence of God, and I was awestruck. What is happening in me? I was like, God, what is this? I was like, so all my legs were become so stiff, and I could not able to walk. And I was like, what is this happening? And then I started walking, and I don't know when I started crying, and I surrendered myself to Jesus without knowing. Seriously, I felt Jesus.
And now she's given her life to Jesus. No more worshiping idols, right?
No, no,
and no
never,
other gods, right?
Never.
All right.
Never.
We realize now that Jesus is the way,
yes,
the truth,
and
the life.
And I thank you so much for that. You revealed God to me.
Praise
thank
the
you
Lord.
So much.
Praise
thank
the Lord.
So
this is where a Hindu becomes a passionate follower of Jesus. Awesome.
Yes.
Praise
yes.
God.
Yes.
Praise all right, guys. Go do the same.
So I was in a position similar, but I had been a Christian my entire life. And I remember we had this lady who had come to our church. I was youth pastoring in Shreveport, Louisiana. And our pastor had invited, you have to understand, I was born in the mission field. My parents were missionaries to Japan. I've been in the church my entire life. And so we were at this church, but I had been around some churches where people were like handling some ministry stuff in a bit of an abusive way. They were like shoving people down and, you know, pushing people down when they pray for them. And I hated that. And so like I would always, whenever somebody would come to pray for me and I knew that they were a pusher downer, I would throw my leg back and I would get in my football stance. Right, Carmine? Yeah. And so I was a linesman, I was a guard, so I mean, I would just throw this leg back, and I'd be like, you can get past this leg, but you'll never get past this leg. On my football team, our football team wanted to give this leg its own jersey. They named this leg. They called this leg Big Bertha. If your name's Bertha, I'm sorry, or if your mother or grandma, I'm sorry, this is not meant to offend you. But they called this leg Big Bertha. So I would throw back Big Bertha, and I'd be like, bring it. You're not going to get me down. And so I had concluded that all of that type of stuff was just hooey and just not real and was really bad and not good. And so we came, our church was having, they had invited this little lady from Finland. And she could barely speak English. And I remember sitting there getting irritated. I had grown up around international people my whole life, so I wasn't bothered by people not being able to clearly speak English. I had very, very sympathetic, you know, very, you know, patient with them and all that. But this lady was just, she gets up and she starts talking, and every other word is yah, you know, and she's like, I go to church, yah, and I get prayer, yah, you know, and every other word, and I'm sitting there going, this is going to be a long night with all these yahs in here. And so she starts telling her story, and I looked at my wife, and I said, I don't know what it is about this lady, but I don't like her. And she's like, she's barely even started. How can you not like her? And I was like, I don't know. There's something about her that's just fishy. I don't know what it is, but I don't like it. And so all of a sudden, she starts telling her story, and she's like, I was depressed and very sad all the time, yeah. And I do the yeah. And she starts talking about how that she goes to this meeting where this guy Wimber was speaking. And she goes, Wimber, pray for people, yeah. They go down, yeah. And I'm like, oh, go down. I'm like, you're one of those. And then she starts talking about, she says, you know, this guy Wimber comes to her. And she goes down. And then she's talking about how she's drunk. And I'm like, great, you and your drinking buddy Wimber go out and get hammered. Why are we listening to this in church? Why are you talking about this in church? You know, you shouldn't be telling this story. You should be ashamed and embarrassed of the story. And so, and she's talking about, she gets off the ground, and she's like, woo, you know, because she was drunk. And I'm like, great. And so then she starts looking at everybody, and she goes, I pray for people now, yeah. And she goes, you want prayer? Come forward, yeah. I pray for you, yeah. And so people start coming forward, and people start dropping to the ground. And I'm like, I knew it. I knew she was one of those. And so I looked at my wife, and I said, let's get your stuff. Let's get out of here. She goes, you can't go. You're the youth pastor. And I was like, that's a technicality. Now, my wife was just as strong in this as I. I mean, she had had some of the best try to push her down, and she wouldn't go down either. I mean, nobody could get her down. So it was like, I was like, this lady's in for a long haul if she thinks she's going to get everybody in this room down, because if we will be the last ones, and she will not get us down. So she starts praying for her. They're starting to drop, and my wife looks at me, and she goes, besides, I'm starting to feel something. And I'm like, I'm feeling it too, and it's like that deep. We need to get out of here now. And she goes, no. She goes, I'm going to go forward, and I'm going to get prayer. And I was like, yes. I said, that's it. I said, you go up there, and you let that little Finnish lady pray for you. She's not going to get you down. And when she can't get you down, it will tear the veil of deception that she is pulling over our church. I said, go up there and let her pray for you so you can tear that. She goes, that's not why I'm going out up there. And I'm like, yeah, 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 but that's what will happen. So you go do that. So she steps up there. Little Finnish lady comes up. I'm staying back at a safe distance, you know. Little Finnish lady looks at her, says something to her, and they're kind of nodding back and forth. And then it looks like the little Finnish lady barely touches her, and my wife starts going backwards. I'm like, for me, that was like the Red Sea parting all over again. And I was like, what? As my wife is going down to the ground, I'm like, that, she's using gas. She had long sleeves. I'm like, she's got a tube coming through her sleeve. She's like, spraying gas and knocking people out. It has to be that. And so my wife gets off the floor a few minutes, and she comes back. And she's kind of shaking her head, and I said, well, listen, what was her technique? Because you know there are different techniques. You know, there's the head smack. Bam. There's the neck break, where your neck is like back and about to break. And then there's the hand shift. Now, I pray for people's hands all the time, but I don't do this. But it's where they'll have you close your eyes, and they're putting their hands on top of your hands, and your eyes are closed. And as your eyes are closed, they start sliding their hands forward, which if your eyes are closed, make you feel like you're going backwards. You go to take a step, and when you go to take that step, you're off balance, and they're like, yes, just take it all. And then you go down because you're off balance. And there's a new one I like to call the lullaby. And it's where they grab both sides and they're like, come on, just, you know, come on, just let it go. They'll almost hum a little to try to get you to go to sleep and go down, right? Things not to do, by the way. So all of a sudden, I'm sitting, I look at my wife, I said, what was her technique? She goes, there is none, this is real, and you need it. And I was like, excuse me? I said, I am a pastor in this church. How dare you say I need that? She goes, you need it bad. You need to go up there and let that little Finnish lady pray for you. And I was like, all right, Lord. I am your humble servant. Here am I. Send me. I will go for you and tear the veil of deception that is coming over this house right now. You can see where this is going, right? So I step up to the front. Little Finnish lady makes her way over to me. And as soon as she does, I throw back Big Bertha. And she comes up to me and she goes, you want prayer, yeah? And I was like, yeah. Trying to speak her language. And she goes, she starts reaching her hand up, and I said, I'm not closing my eyes for you. And she goes, okay. I was like, okay, you people are never okay with that. And she starts moving her hand towards me, and I'm watching her fingers, and I'm looking down her sleeve, smelling to see if I could smell the gas or see the tube that has to be coming through her sleeve, looking, and I'm not seeing anything there. And she gets to about right here, and I'm looking, and I'm smelling, and then all of a sudden, she pulls her hand back, and she goes, no. And I'm like, that's right, sister. You know you can't get me down. And she just waves her hand in front of my eyes, and she goes, Father, you do it. And I'm like, Father, you do it, as I'm going backwards. And I'm like, Big Bertha, where are you? It was like she got raptured and was just gone. Swirling around the throne in heaven somewhere, but she was not there. And I'm going back, and my hands go up, and I shout out, no way, and I freeze at the word way. So I'm like, no way, as I'm going backwards. The guy catching people. He's like, everybody in this whole church will go down, but Robbie never will, so I don't need to catch him. So he doesn't catch me until I am 18 inches from the floor. The impact of this hitting his back split his pants from zipper to belt loop. Oh, a veil was torn that night. Just not the veil of deception. He had to borrow a woman's sweater and before the Lord, zippered a belt loop. Had to borrow a woman's sweater, tie it around his waist for the rest of the night because it split his pants. And I'm laying on the floor. And I can't move. Tears streaming down the sides of my eyes, puddling in my ears, but I can't wipe them away. And I'm sitting there going, what's happening? What's happening? I can't move my eyes. I'm staring straight ahead. People come up and are taking pictures of me. Now, this is before cameras and cell phones. They had disposables. They're like, flashing in my eyes that I cannot close. And I'm like, what are you doing with a in my head? What are you doing with a camera in church? My wife has one of those pictures and has hidden it from me. She's like, at the appropriate time, it shall be revealed. I don't know where she's keeping it in, but she has a picture. I'm like. And so I'm laying there, and then all of a sudden, everything goes dark. I'm hearing all this noise, hearing all this, but everything just goes dark. And all of a sudden, I see this sort of, I don't know how to describe it, but this territory, like this sort of land. And I see a hill, and I see like the sun coming up over the hill. And as the sunlight hits this floor of this area, I thought there were branches laying, like broken branches all over the floor, but I realized as soon as the sun hit it that it was the Valley of Dry Bones. It was Ezekiel 37. And I'm looking at all these skeletons and these broken bones laying all over the valley floor. The Lord spoke to me and said, can these bones live? Now, I didn't have the faith or the wisdom of Ezekiel to say, only you know, Lord. I was like, no. No, they can't. I reached out to touch them, and they turned to powder under my fingertips. And I said, no, it's impossible. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, prophesy to the bones. And I said, what are you, you know, I've had a couple of times where I've had a vision of scripture, and in the moment where it's almost like in a trance, and in the moment, it's like the scripture leaves me. It's like it's not even there. I don't even have it as a reference point. And that this was one of those times. And he said, prophesy to the bones. I said, what do you prophesy to bones? I'm like, they're dead. They turned to powder. This is parched. This is beyond dry. And he said, prophesy, command them to come together. Command them to be made whole. And all these bones start rattling and coming together. Skeletons are forming. And then he says, now prophesy flesh on the bones. I'm following what he's saying and prophesying. There's, you know, muscle and sinew and skin coming on the bones. And I sat there and I looked, and there's tens of thousands of people standing. And I remember I had the thought standing there, this is every pastor's dream. A vast expanse full of people. There was only one problem. They were dead. There was no life in them. There was no life there at all. We spend so much of our time counting bodies. Where's the life? And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, now call for the wind to come. Now, this was a little bit out of sequence of Ezekiel 37. But I began to realize the wind was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit and for the Holy Spirit to fill them. And as soon as that happened, they began to move, they began to function, and the Lord spoke to me and he says, now, that's what I've called you to do. And he said, but never forget, you are the driest pile here. Always have compassion on the dry bones because you are in the same place of dryness therein. And I said, you're right. I was the driest pile here. And then I came out of it. Kind of like that pop right there. The whole church was dark. Everybody was gone. And I remember I was looking around, and the lady was vacuuming in the corner, you know. And I looked at the very back, and there my wife was sitting back with our oldest son in the stroller, just rocking him in the stroller, you know. Everybody was gone. Most all the lights were out. And I got up from the floor. I never had that happen to me before. And I walked back to look at my wife, and I looked at her, and I said, let me point something out. So when I was looking at this Finnish woman, and I was looking at what was happening, I was seeing all of it is bad because I was seeing it through Satan's kingdom lens. And I went back to my wife, and she looks at me, and she's just sitting there rocking our oldest son. He was only about 6 months old at that time, and she goes, are you okay? And I blinked, and I looked at her, and I said, and she goes, what? And I was like, I could hear it, that it wasn't right. And I was like, And she starts shouting. She goes, I don't understand. She thought I'd gone deaf. She said I was talking almost like a deaf person. She goes, I don't understand you. And I'm like, I'm trying to tell her, quit hollering. I can hear you fine. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Nothing was coming out right. And she goes, what is wrong with you? I'm like, this wasn't tongues. I've been speaking in tongues since I was 9. And I looked at her and I was like, and I ran to the bathroom. And I'm standing at the sink looking in the mirror and I'm like, nothing is coming out clear at all. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? And I'm like, I know. I've got to talk faster. If I talk faster, I can beat this. And I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, nothing coming. I'm like, slower. If I go slower, and I'm like, nothing is coming out clear. Finally, I start crying, and I'm like, looking in the mirror, going, what is the matter with me? And so I leave the bathroom. I go back to where my wife was sitting in the church, and she's like, are you okay now? And I'm like, and she goes, well, come on, let's just go home. And I was like, we start walking home. We only lived a few blocks from the church. And we're walking along the sidewalk. And all of a sudden, as we're walking along the sidewalk, all of a sudden, the sidewalk starts moving. And I look at my wife, and I'm like, and she goes, what? I don't understand what you're saying. And I'm like, and she goes, I don't know what you're talking about, but quit walking funny. You're walking funny. And I'm like, I was getting drunk. I had never been drunk in my entire life. I didn't know what it was. Drunk in the spirit. You understand that, right? So all of a sudden, we're walking down the side, and my wife is having to hold my belt and push the stroller, and she says I started singing. I do not remember that part. But we're walking down. I'm like, hey. As we're walking down the sidewalk, she's trying to hold me as we're going. She walks me into the bed, and I stand in front of the bed, and I'm like, hey. And she just shoves me in bed. I'm like, ah. I go face down. She did not even help me take my shoes off. I laid face down all night in all of my clothes, face down in the bed, and I woke up the next morning, still all my clothes on, and I woke up and I looked and she was gone, and the sun was, you know, coming through the window, and I was like, oh, I've been smitten dumb because I mocked the little Finnish lady. God has smitten me dumb. And so I go into the bathroom, and I'm looking in the mirror again in the bathroom, and I'm like, that was the weirdest thing, and it came out clear. And I was like, I could talk. And I start crying, and I'm like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I'm so happy I can talk. And I run into the kitchen, and she's making oatmeal for our son. And I look at her and I say, can you understand me? Please tell me you can understand the words I'm saying to you. Can you understand? She's like, yes. She goes, what was that? I said, I don't know. But I will never mock the Finnish for as long as I live ever again. And she goes, well, get ready. We need to go to the store. We got to buy some stuff at the store. And I was like, okay. So I went and I changed. And so we go to the store. And we walk into the grocery store. And as soon as we walk in, I see this little elderly lady with a walker. And she's walking in, and she's like, oh, oh, and she's walking. And I was like, man, she looks like she's in a lot of pain. And I told my wife, I said, let me catch up with you. She goes, well, I'm going to go to the bread aisle. I said, well, I'll catch up with you in a minute. I said, I want to talk to this lady. And she goes, okay. And so I went up to this little lady, and I said to her, I said, ma'am, are you okay? And she goes, no, I'm not. And I said, well, you look like you're in pain. She goes, baby, I got pain. You don't even understand. And I said, well, I would like to pray for you. And I said, could I just pray for you? And she goes, it won't do any good. She goes, but if you want to waste a prayer, go ahead. And I was like, well, I don't know, but I would really like to pray for you. And so she's like, okay. And so she kind of put her walker to the side, had her hand on one side. She's facing me. I just put my hand on her shoulder, and I'm like, Father, would you just come? Just bless this woman. Would you just touch her? Let her know. I didn't really know a lot about healing. I didn't know a lot about it. I was like, would you just bless her? Would you show her how much you love her, how much you care about her? And as I'm praying, she's going, And I'm like, what is that? And I start praying a little bit, Lord, Father, would you just touch her? Would you just bless her? Would you show her that you love her? And she's like, And I'm like, is this a demon? What is this? I don't know what this is. And I finally, and she's like, And I said, ma'am, are you okay? And she lifted her head and her eyes were crossed. She lifted her head and bam, her face plants right into my chest. And I grab her shoulders and in my head I'm going, you're supposed to go the other way. Don't you know the rules? And her face is here sliding down my chest and I'm holding her and I'm like, and I lay her down, face down, in front of the tomato section. And I ran away. I ran away. I didn't know what this was. I didn't know what to do. I had not been in any meetings like this. And I ran away. I left. I abandoned that woman face down in the tomato. I go to find my wife in the bread section and I come up to her and she's like, what's the matter with you? And I was like, nothing. She goes, why are you looking like that? I said, no reason at all. I said, we need to go. We need to get out of here now. She goes, I'm not done shopping. I said, you don't understand. We have to go now. I was afraid the grocery store popo was coming after us. Police. And we left the store. That's the end of the story. There's no happy ending to that story. As far as I know, that lady is still laying in front of the tomato section. I did not know what to do. What happened? I had encountered, and therefore became an encounter. I had encountered, and it was on me. See, this is the reason why Jesus says, freely you've received, freely give. And we're like, when's my next touch? What have you done with the last touch? Who did you give that away to? You don't just go around, oh, I've been touched. No, you release that to other people. If you want to see more happen, if you want this church filled with signs and wonders, you get touched. Go do it, and you're going to bring it back here, and you'll see it multiply and grow, and you'll see incredible signs and wonders. The problem is we're all trying to do signs and wonders in here, and this isn't where Jesus did signs and wonders. He did them out there. All of the New Testament church did them out there. Evangelism wasn't a meeting that you had inside the church with the group at some cave or some field somewhere. Evangelism happened Monday through Friday, wherever you worked, wherever you lived, wherever you bought groceries, that's where evangelism happened. You see, we've messed this up in the Western church. Does that make sense? But what had happened to me, after that, I wanted more. I was like, where can we have more of this? How can we get more of this? How can we get, I want to get more. Every person I prayed for after that, they all for months fell into me. I guess because I was so offended about going backwards or something, God's like, well, I'll show you, you know. We'll just deal with that right now. But what had happened is me having that encounter dealt with a religious spirit that was in me, that was in opposition. You see, what gets rid of a religious spirit is not argument, it's encounter. And you're the encounter that God wants to give them. Does this make sense? All right, can you stick with me a little bit longer? Is this okay? Is this helpful? You know, the first night of a meeting like this is kind of like a first date. You're kind of like, you know, sort of like that. I haven't had one of those in 28 years, but not a first date. My wife and I date, but not a first date. But listen to this. So all of a sudden, the children of Israel, why? Because they're seeing through Satan's kingdom lens, they're like, don't smite us. They're still seeing him as the one who will come and strike them. Now listen. One day, Moses would go into the tent of meeting, right? And as he would go into the tent of meeting, the cloud would come. What were the manifestations of God's presence with the children of Israel throughout the wilderness? By day, pillar of cloud. By night, pillar of fire. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. So they could look out, they could see that, and they could say, God is amongst us. We need manifestation of God's presence so that people will realize that God is among us. We have to have that. So listen to this. One day Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me. So he goes into the tent of meeting, cloud comes down, and all the people can see God is with Moses right now. They're having a meeting right now. This was the evidence of God's presence with them. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If that is true, that you look favorably on me, then let me know your ways so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation, they're yours, not mine. This is this is Moses arguing with God. He goes, this was your idea, not my idea. They're your people, not my people. Because God said, take the people that you brought up. He goes, wait a minute, this was your idea. I was just operating in obedience. These are your people. These are your very own people. Now, what is Moses saying here? There's not one thing. God's saying, go and take them. You can go get all the bling you want. Get the land flowing with milk and honey. Get all the good stuff. All the stuff you're after. And Moses is saying, that's not enough. I don't just want your stuff. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest, and everything will be fine for you. Now, how many of you know there's a lot of leaders in the church out there that's a good deal? They'd be like, I'll take that. I'll go with you. Everything will be fine with you. They come back to the crowd. I got good news. I got bad news. Good news is, well, let's start with the bad. God wants to kill you. All of you. He's saying, I can't even hang out with you or I would destroy every last one of you. Good news is, he really likes me. Kind of his favorite. So if you're good to me, I'll look after you. There's a lot of leaders that are like, oh, that's a good deal. Not Moses. Because the heart of a true leader is revealed right here in Moses' response. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us. If you don't go with us, why? Because a true leader looks out for the whole, not just themselves. If you don't personally go with us, then don't make us leave this place. This place is a place of hardship. This is a place of pain. This is a place of difficulty. There's not an adequate food supply. There's not an adequate water supply. This is a miserable place. Moses had known the finest palace in all of Egypt. And here he's telling God, if you don't go with us, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me, and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence. For your presence among us sets us and your people and me apart from all the other people of the earth. I one time took my kids to a Dawkins family reunion. And there were matriarchs and patriarchs of the family there going back for generations. My great-grandmother was there who had been a preacher and a minister back when, you know, in the 1910, when they didn't have them. And my boys are sitting over there, they were young then, and they're sitting and they're pointing at, you know, my great-uncle and uncle and all these people, and they're snickering and they're laughing and they're like, you know, pointing at them, like, and man, it made me mad. And I go over to my boys and I'm snapping at them and I'm like, boys, stop that. Don't laugh at these people. You don't know who these people are. You don't understand the price they pay. You don't know the journey they've been through. You don't know what's going on. And my boys were like, Dad, we're not laughing at them. And I'm like, well, what are you laughing at? They're like, Dad, everybody here has the same nose. Peepaw's got it. You got it. Great granny's got it. Great great granny's got it. Uncle James has it. Uncle Jimmy has it. We all have the same nose. And I said, what does that tell you? And they said, oh, this is where we belong. These are our people. Why? Because it's the family resemblance. Moses is saying your presence is the family resemblance. It's what gives us identity. It's what gives us distinction. It separates us from all the other people of the world. It makes us distinct. Now listen. The Lord replied to Moses and said, I will indeed do what you've asked, and I will, because I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. Then Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. It's not enough to hear stories about it. It's not enough just to know that it's happened in the past or that it's going. It's not enough. I need an encounter now. I want that encounter now. And the world needs me to have it because I need to take it out there. But here's the thing. Many times, you got to plant those seeds in order to reap that harvest of encounter. Moses is like, it's not enough to talk about it. It's got to be encountered. It's got to be experienced right now. The Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name Yahweh before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. I remember hearing my parents preach. Both my parents were preachers. And I would hear them preach on this passage. I thought, man, that sounds so harsh. But do you know that's still true today? To see the face of God is to die. Man, when I see his face, I die to my lust. I die to my greed. I die to my pride. I die to my need to be somebody. I die to my self-preservation. When I see his face, it just dies. Because it can't live while beholding his presence. It just dies. It has to. No one may see me and live. Then the Lord continued, look, stand near me on this rock. And we know the rock represents Christ. And as my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen. You know what's interesting about this? I remember thinking, man, that is bogus. You only get to see the back of God. I don't want to. The back is like a negative to me. You know what I mean? I remember when my boys started getting to dating age, I would tell them, I would say, listen, you're going to get married soon, and you got to learn how to treat your wife. Because if you don't treat her right, you go to bed that night, you get the back. The back is not good. The back is like being shut out. The back is like rejection. The back is, I'm like, you, the back, you know, treat her good. Treat her with respect. Treat, honor her. Or when you go to bed, you get the back. And my wife says, I think you've misunderstood the back. And I'm like, how so? And she goes, you've seen the back as a barrier, as a wall shutting you out. She said, maybe the back is an invitation for you to show value again and pursue. I was like, that would have been good to know 27 years ago. Little bit of information that would have been really helpful for all these years. I mean, you know, sorry. So inappropriate. Many of you feel like you're getting the back, and God's saying, pursue. When I read this, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to know my back and know it well, because I always want you in hot pursuit of my presence. Well, you will leave everything to come after it, that you are in such pursuit of my presence. Know my back and know it well, so you're always in pursuit of my face. We see the back as being shut out. Some of you feel shut out, and God's saying, pursue. Show value again. Show hunger, show desperation again. Come in a hot pursuit. Now, let me wrap this thought up. You guys all right? So quiet. I'm like, you okay? So all of a sudden, the children of Israel, the manifestations, remember the cloud, the fire? So imagine standing out. They would have what was the tabernacle made of? Now God was so offended by this because that gold was in reserve for the furniture that was supposed to be in his tabernacle that was to host his presence. And they were using it to form a fake news god that was totally bogus and totally not true and totally not real, and they wanted to worship that rather than the real God, and it offended him. So what happens is that all of a sudden that gold was there to make the mercy seat, the ark, and what would the high priest do when he would come in to that ark? And he would go in once a year to do a sacrifice of, make an offering of atonement. And what was that? He would go in with his hands filled with blood, the pure blood of a pure spotless lamb. He would walk in and he would pour it in the mercy seat. And all of the congregation would listen for the bells around his garment, because if the bells stopped, then the blood wasn't enough. Then their sins were too great. Or his sin was too great. And so they would listen for the sound of those bells. Everybody would be in hush, listening for the sound of the bells. Now, what was that tabernacle made of? Skins, right? Animal skins. That's what the veil was made of, was animal skins, right? And so it was made of animal skins. Why? Because God wanted his presence in skin. He wanted his presence to be in skin. That was his intention. You see, David looks out and he sees this old tabernacle that had been going through the desert for years and years and years, and he's looking at it and he's like, I live in a palace and your presence is hosted in this animal skin tabernacle? He said, let me build you a house finer than mine. And God said, no. He said, you know, I'll let Solomon do it later. God, David kept pestering God. Let me do this. Let me do this. And God said, you know this? I actually preached this in a group of, a large group of Messianic Jews. And I told him, I said, guys, don't kill me for saying this, but I don't believe God ever wanted the temple. The temple was never God's idea. It was David's idea. And when Solomon built the temple, what manifestation came in to the temple? the cloud, not the fire. The pillar of fire never entered into that temple. It was only ever on that tabernacle. Why? We don't see the pillar of fire again until Acts chapter 2. Pentecost, a pillar of fire lands on their heads. God's presence once again in skin. Why? God wants mobile tabernacles. He doesn't want his presence in fixed walls. Does this make sense?
Yes.
He wants his presence in the community in mobile tabernacles. His presence in skin. He wants everyone out there to encounter him in you. Christ in you. He never intended for his presence to be in fixed walls. Hear the cry of God for your community. For all of you who've been crying out for revival to come to this area, you're praying for yourself. You are the revival. You are the carrier of the presence. God's presence in you. You're to be the mobile tabernacle. You're to be where they see the fire, where they see the cloud. His presence on you. Do you see how that would change the Middle East? If we would just go out and just pray for people to be healed. Pray for them with boldness. Pray for them. See the Hindu girl who gets hit by the power of the Holy Spirit? Nobody lays a finger on her. Just God's presence. Bam. I mean, there was a lot of people that went to the floor that night without it being touched. There was not an argument of theology with her. There was not any proof, not even arguing scripture with her. She was on her phone the whole time I was preaching. Thinking she was skipping past it. Does that make sense? You're God's plan for revival for this area. His plan is you. Can I demonstrate that with you? Is there anybody here that you're having problems in your shoulder and you're in pain in your shoulder right now? That you were to check your shoulder, you would feel pain right now. Don't come to me and say, yeah, 3 days ago I did. It's not there anymore, but I still want you to pray. You're checking it. You're in pain now. If that's you, raise your hand. Okay? Come forward if you just raised your hand. We're going to do some stages of ministry. This is our first stage of it. You guys come and just stand right here in the middle if you would. If you're coming because you got the problem in your shoulder. A little bit more. There we go. This little lady right there with the black sweater. Yeah, would you come up here? Would you help me out? Can I use this mic? Can I use this mic right here? Doesn't need to be switched on? Okay. I met you before the service, but what was your name again?
Megan.
Megan, how old are you?
12.
Perfect. 12. Megan, are you a professional, like, itinerant healer or anything like that?
No.
Do you have, like, a healing ministry? Do you have your own tablecloth like mine back there? Yeah. No? Okay. You're perfect for this, then. Step up here if you would. Okay. Both of you have problems with your shoulder? Okay. Which shoulder is it for you? Right there? Okay, what is that?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay, show me where you begin to lift it and feel the pain.
It's just all there all the time.
Right there? How long has that been going on?
About 6 years.
6 years? What happened?
I had a back injury. And then it kind of.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Just started pain. Just an attack.
What what's your name?
Brandy.
Brandy, okay. Can you just step over here and just kind of turn this way, if you would? Just kind of face out. Just so she can touch your shoulder. I want her to touch your shoulder. Yeah, there you go. So just put your hand right there. Is that okay? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. And Megan. Okay, sorry. I rename people all the time. Can you guys just right there? Are you here to help me? Yeah. You're my support. Can you just take a seat for right now if you would? Just a second. One of you can stand here, but all right, you ready? Just repeat after me. Father.
Father.
I thank you for healing power.
I thank you for healing power.
And I thank you, Brandy. Is that right? I thank you for Brandy.
I thank you for Brandy.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
I command this shoulder.
I command this shoulder.
And this back.
And this back.
To straighten up right now.
To straighten up right now.
Be healed.
Be healed.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
All pain.
All pain.
Get out.
Get out.
Muscles relax.
Muscles relaxed.
Nerves be loosed.
Nerves be loose.
Vertebrae line up.
Vertebrae line up.
All pain go.
All pain go.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, take your hand off. All right, Brandy, raise your arm. Check your arm. And kind of move your neck around too. There's something in the neck too, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Move your neck around. Okay. If the pain that you were feeling before, when you lifted it before, was 10, zero is no pain, give me a number of what you're feeling now. Don't be nice.
It's okay.
That's not a number. If you started at 10, when you checked back there, zero is no pain, where are you at now?
A three.
Okay. All right. Step back around here again. Okay. Put your hand back there again. All right. Are you being nice or is it really a three?
It feels pretty good. Just tight.
Okay. So tension is there too. Okay. So put your hand back there again. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
But she went from 10 to a 3. That's like 70% healed. I mean, I'd be encouraged if it were me. I'm just saying. All right. Ready? Father.
Father.
I thank you for Brandy.
I thank you for Brandy.
And I thank you for healing power.
I thank you for healing power.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
I command this three.
I command this three.
Go to a zero now.
Go to a zero now.
Muscles, I command you to relax.
Muscles, I command you to relax.
Nerves be loose.
Nerves be loose.
Vertebrae line up.
Vertebrae line up.
I command you to come in perfect alignment.
I command you to come in perfect alignment.
Be healed now.
Be healed now.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Blow on her back. Turn back around. Blow really hard on her back. Okay. All right. Now move around and check it. This time I want two numbers. So your pain level was at a 3. I want you to tell me if the tension, the tightness, was at 10 and 0 is no tightness. So give me first number on the pain. If it was 3 before, check it. Check again.
I'm good on that.
Raise your arms. I want to see you raise and move. Okay. If you were at a 3, 0 is no pain. Were you at in pain?
No pain.
0 pain? Mm. All right. Now, move around your neck. Tension. What about tension? If it was 10 before in tension and 0 is perfectly normal, like back to 6 years ago, where are you at now in tension?
8.
8, okay, all right, come back, turn back around here again. All right, now, in Mark chapter 8, how many times did Jesus pray for the blind man? 2. If he gets 2, how many do we get? 6. Here's the deal, if something's happening, what do? Do it again. But if nothing's happening, what do? Pray again. Either way, it's the same answer. It doesn't matter. Just keep praying. So here's the thing. We think, I saw a guy one time pray for somebody once and they were instantly healed. So if that doesn't happen, then I'm not going to pray. Jesus had to pray twice. Did he ever run up against no miracles? Nazareth? I thank God for those scriptures. You know why? Mm-hmm. It encourages me to keep going. It encourages me not to quit. See, God can use a failure. He likes to do that. You know what he can't use? Quitter. Don't quit. Okay? Does this make sense?
Yes.
All right. So turn again. Put your hand there again. So you're at 8 in stiffness. Father?
Father.
I thank you for Brandy.
I thank you for Brandy.
And I thank you for healing power.
I thank you for healing power.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
I bind. The spirit of infirmity.
The spirit of infirmity.
Get off of her now.
Get off of her now.
I command. Her muscles.
Her muscles.
To be at peace.
To be at peace.
Vertebrae line up. I forbid. Anymore. Manifestation.
Of tension.
Get out now.
Be healed.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, take your hand off. All right, move around. Check again. Be completely honest. Saying you're healed when you're not. What is that called? Lying. Don't lie. Be honest. Honest assessment leads to transformation. You gotta honestly assess in order to get transformation come, right? You know, Ezekiel scans the valley floor and says, they're dead. That's honest assessment, right?
Yes.
Just making sure you're listening. Where are you at now? You were 8 before?
Still can't turn it that way.
You can't turn it that way? Okay. So give me a number of the amount of tension. Don't be nice. Be absolutely honest.
Probably a 5.
About a 5? Okay. All right. So let me use you to illustrate something, okay? 0 pain, 5 intention, right? Is that correct? Okay. What? You went like that.
I'm just guessing on the number. I don't
really know. No, that's fine. I can't assess it for you. You've got to assess it for you. So step up here. Which shoulder is it for you? Come up here.
Step on both sides. I'm actually supposed to have a procedure Wednesday.
Supposed to have a procedure Wednesday?
Yeah. Okay.
And show me where you feel the most pain. Like, is it lifting your arms?
It's
or?
Lifting. It's elbow. It's fingers. It's the whole shebang.
Is it in your neck?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Show me. I'm not asking you to hurt yourself, but just show me as far as you can turn before you feel the pain the most.
Right there
and right there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's 10, and lifting your shoulders is 10 too. Okay.
Absolutely.
And what's your name?
Wendy.
Wendy. You put your hand on Wendy's. Just put it right there. Just gently. Don't rub. People go to pray for people, and they start rubbing. I'm like, that will distract. I mean, if the Holy Spirit's moving, you'll be like, is it the Holy Spirit giving me a massage? I'm feeling electricity too. Is that coming from that person? Don't just gently touch them, and you just pray, right? You understand that? Okay. And say your name one more time, sorry.
Wendy,
okay. Father?
Father.
I thank you for Wendy.
I thank you for Wendy.
And I thank you for healing power.
And I thank you for healing power.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
Are these bulging discs? Are they herniated or bulging?
I had surgery in 2000. I have bone spurs. I have narrowing of the spinal cord. There's a lot going on.
Okay. Father?
Father.
I command these bone spurs. To disappear. Right now.
Right now.
I command the narrowing. Of the vertebrae. Or not the vertebrae, it was the spinal cord. Of the spinal cord to be normal. I command all pain. Get out now. Back, I command you to be healed. I command full mobility. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Be healed. For the glory of Jesus Christ.
In
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, take your hands off. All right, now move your neck. Show us as far as you can move it.
It's better.
Okay, and then also raise your arms. I want two numbers, okay? I want a number for here and then for in your shoulders. So if it was 10 in both before, 0's no pain, where are you at? Don't be nice.
Okay, I won't be nice. 5.
5 in both shoulders and just about, in
the back. Yeah, because it's like linked together.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, I know they're connected. Step a little bit closer if you would. Just come up just a little bit. That's good right there. Okay, ready to do it again? All right. Are you guys learning anything? Turn to the book of Numbers right now. Listen. This is not teaching, I'm training right now. I'm showing you what to do. If you don't turn around and go do this tomorrow, you've wasted my time in coming here. Let me go someplace that'll actually do it. do this. You will see the same results even faster out there than you will in here. I promise you that. Father?
Father.
I thank you for Wendy.
I thank you for Wendy.
And I thank you for healing power.
And I thank you for healing power.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
I break. Every attack of the enemy.
Every attack of the enemy.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
I bind. The spirit of infirmity.
The spirit of infirmity.
And the spirit of death.
And the spirit of death.
Get off of her.
Get off of her.
I forbid.
Anymore.
Manifestation.
Manifestation.
Of pain.
Of pain.
A restriction of movement.
A restriction of movement.
Go now.
Be healed.
For the glory of our great King.
For the glory of our great King.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Don't move your hands when you're praying. Take your hands off. Okay, now move and check again. Move your neck. Man, you're moving a lot further, though, right? Or no?
It's great.
Okay. Yeah. Now tilt back to as far as you can. See, a lot of times when this happens, you're doing it out of caution because you're anticipating the pain. Now raise your arms to the best of your ability. Okay, now two numbers again. You were 5 and 5.
I'm 0 and 2.
0, 0, turn your neck again, check your neck. Any pain, tilt your head back, any pain at all.
Oh, thank you,
Was
Jesus.
There any other area where you were in pain at? No? Yeah. Hallelujah. Guys, I think we should celebrate that. Yeah, that's when you say thank you, Jesus, a lot. All right? You may be used to somebody doing this a little bit more dramatically. I'm intentionally not doing that. Because I want you to be able to step out there without big drama and just watch God do it. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to build it up. Why? Because the most quiet introvert can go and do this. Okay? Now, check your movement. Don't be nice. You were at a 5, I think, before. Turn this way and this way. Turning that way. So if you were at a 5 before, where are you at now? Don't be nice. Don't be nice.
It's not that it's a pain. It's just...
No, the restriction. Right. No, that's what I'm saying. If it was 5 in restriction... See, you're saying 5 in restriction. I'm thinking it's more like 8 still in restriction. I'm thinking
maybe.
You're just a nice lady. You know what I mean? But it's okay. Well, you're not. No, so listen. No, I understand that. I appreciate that. But listen, she's not 100%, but she just prayed for her, and she got 100%. Now, have you ever thought, I can't go pray for people because I need healing myself? It's not true. You know what? God loves taking wounded healers to go and do healing. You know why? It demonstrates how he's Almighty God. Okay? So come, wasn't there another one? Or is any one of you have a problem? Okay, come step up here. What's going on with your shoulder? What shoulder is it?
It's kind of in both shoulders. I was in a couple of automobile accidents back in the late 80s.
Okay. So raising your arms, or what movement do you feel
right
like the
here,
most?
I'm
right
feeling
there?
Some pain right in here.
Okay. And what about that one?
A little bit of pain right in
right
there.
Right in there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get two numbers, 10 and 10. Whatever you're at now is 10. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then 0 is no pain. Okay. Mm-hmm. So can you turn this way for me? Okay. So now put your hand just right there. And again, don't rub, don't move. Just stay right there. Okay, and come a little bit closer here. Wait, sweetheart, come here. I want you to stay right with me if you would. You okay? You're young. Your legs
She's
can handle
shaky.
It a little bit longer. Okay. So repeat after me. I want you to put your hand on him too, okay? Normally I don't like two people doing it because I don't want the others to go, oh, they did it, not me. And what's your name, sir?
Rick.
Rick, okay. Ready? Father?
Father,
I thank you for Rick.
I thank you for Rick.
And I thank you for healing power.
And I thank you for healing power.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
I command.
These vertebrae to line up.
I command the shoulders to be healed.
I command the shoulders to be healed.
I command muscles relaxed.
I command muscles relaxed.
All pain get out.
All pain get out.
Wendy, can you snap your fingers? Go now.
Go now.
Be healed.
Be healed.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, guys, take your hands off. Check your shoulders again.
Ooh, I'm feeling pain here now, but it
Give me a number. If you were 10 before, and then give me a number on mobility.
I'm going to say about a 7.
About a 7? Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you noticing their mobility?
A little more mobility, yes.
Give me a number on the mobility, too.
I'd say about a 7.
7 and 7. Mm-hmm. Okay, now check this one.
It's about a 3 or 4 here.
Okay.
But I'm still feeling it.
So let's say 4 and 7 there, okay? Mm-hmm. Put your hand back there again. Touch them again if you would, sweetheart. All right, ready? Father?
Father.
What was your name again? Sorry. Rick. I thank you for Rick.
I thank you for Rick.
And I thank you for healing power.
And I thank you for healing power.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
I command. These muscles to relax. I command any damaged nerves.
I command any damaged nerves.
Be repaired right now.
Be repaired right now.
I command vertebrae to be in perfect alignment.
I command vertebrae to be in perfect alignment.
Be healed.
Be healed.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
Wendy, just blow on the upper part of his back right there. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, take your hands off. Rick, check again. Give me a number on pain first.
About a 2.
About a 2, mm-hmm. And then on mobility. You were at
about
7
the same.
And 7?
I'm going to say it's about a 2 there,
still
too.
Okay, 2. I was going to say you're going to say a 7. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's better than yeah. 7. All right, now check this side. You were at 4, I think, on this side. Give me a number on the pain and the number on mobility.
I would say about a 1 or a 2. On
so pain. Let's say 2 on both, okay? Mm-hmm. Can we pray again?
Yes.
Okay. Are you guys learning anything? See, the problem is we go pray for somebody one time, we just walk away. Ask them. Have them check first. Have them get a number first. Mm-hmm. Say the number. This is where you're starting, or you can ask them what number it is, and then have them check, and then say, now what number are you? We don't see healing a lot because we don't check. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. You know what I mean? You ask him to check. All right, ready? Father?
Father.
I thank you for Rick.
I thank you for Rick.
And I thank you for healing power.
And I thank you for healing power.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
I break. Every attack of the
every
enemy.
Every attack of the enemy.
Get off of him now.
Get off of him now.
You have no right
you
here.
You have no right here.
All of those words from the past.
All of those words from the past.
Be broken off of him now.
Be released.
I command the full release
of the sonship you're called to.
Fill his being now. And all pain and restriction go.
And all pain and restriction go.
For the glory of our great King.
For the glory of our great King.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Rick, check again.
I'd say it's about a 1.
Okay, check the other side.
Yeah, the same.
About a 1 and 1. Cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Amen.
Okay. Can you guys take a seat, and we're going to transition real quick with something, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to go some more for you, okay? I'm going to turn it back to you. You can have a seat right now. Were you feeling – wait, Wendy. Were you guys – Were you guys feeling any tingling or heat while you were getting prayer? What were you feeling?
I feel heat. My hands get super, super hot when I'm praying for somebody.
Okay, what about you?
I was feeling electricity when they were praying earlier.
Okay, electricity. And then what were you feeling, Brandy? And just whatever your answer is. If you weren't feeling anything, don't say you were feeling something. Were you feeling any tingling or heat or any sort of movement or anything while we were praying? There's some popping that was happening. A lot of times that's loosening you up. Have you done this before? No, is that your first time? Listen, let me invite you. That is your new addiction right there. So here's a question for you. If you've ever heard me ask this before, whether on videos or anything, how many people did I just pray for that experienced healing? Say it louder.
None.
0. I didn't pray for anybody. She did. They did.
Come on.
This is about Christ in you. It's not about specially gifted people. It's about Christ in you. She just got activated. They just got activated. And they activated the power and the authority that's been in them all their lives in their relationship with Christ. As they came into a relationship with Christ. Guys, activate. Activate, okay? All right. Where did Adam go? Oh, there you are. Sorry. I'll come back with some. We'll come back and we're going to pray for other people here in a minute, though, okay?
We're not done. Thank you. We're going to do more ministry here in a second. But that was a demonstration, obviously, for you guys to see. But when we invited Robbie to come to minister here at this, we did this as a church to sow into our community, to sow into your lives. And part of that requires us to sow back. Amen? So you see where I'm going here? Anybody? Okay, good. We're going to be sowing now. We get a chance to sow into this. I believe this. We didn't care how much it cost because it's not about money. It's about seed. It's about sowing your time being here, sowing your money. And so when we chose to do this a little while back, we said, we don't care. I remember, where's Kenny? Kenny's like, right there. It's like, can we do this? I'm like, you know, he gave me a number. I go, okay, let's do it. Because everything we do is to bless our city. And I also want to, we're going to hear more about it tomorrow night, I think, the ministry in the Middle East and some things that are going on. We are just excited to have him here. And so I want to challenge every one of you just to sow. Sow in faith, sow believing that you're not sowing for a miracle. You're not sowing for an encounter. You're sowing your own life in faith because God wants you to sow so you can reap even greater. That's the blessing of the Lord. So let's do that. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you right now as we take faith to sow seed right now. We pray over this seed that's being sown. You said you'd even give seed to the sower. So I pray right now that even as the seed's being sown, that you can increase the seed in people's lives, that they can sow more. But we pray for this seed especially, that it would impact not only our lives, but our families, our community, this region around us, that we would go forth with this and see multitudes of people get touched through just this one night tonight. So we sow in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, as you give, don't forget the book table on the way out. When do they open? You'll open that up in a minute. Okay, so here in a little bit, the book table is going to be open if you need to leave, but there'll be some opportunities for many. We'll hand this back over to Robbie, and for those that are, I want to stick around, keep coming. There's really no closing time, right? Just can't keep going until we feel led, so.
We're going to have you step out and do this here in just a minute, but one of the things that we had that I do a training three times a week with about 150 Iranians.
If you would, people are asking, if you would write the checks to either just put SLC or Spirit of Life, that's fine because we'll make sure all the money goes. It'll all go there too. So SLC or Spirit of Life, thank you. Sorry.
So, no, it's okay. So I can't tell you how. If I did, I'm afraid you'd give it away, and we'd get busted for it. Not here in this country, but in them and those countries. But so we train about 150 Iranians. Over half of them are in Iran, and so and the way that we get that to them is just incredible. It's really miraculous, actually. But one of the ladies had we were doing a training similar to this. One of the ladies had. Psoriasis all over her body, all over her legs. I'll try to find the picture and show you tomorrow night. And so two of the guys, they're particularly in the capital city, and they decide we're going to drive to the other side of town and we're going to go pray for her because we were praying on video. You know, we're praying over a streaming format. And so we're praying, we can look, we can see everything, she can see everything. And so these guys drove over to the, and this is during even Iran was shut down, you realize that. And so they went over and they prayed for her and all of it completely, she had it all over her back, her chest, her stomach, her legs, all of it completely disappeared as they were praying. And this is the first time they had ever physically laid hands on somebody and prayed for them. Now, miracles happen all over in the underground church in Iran. I mean, that's just, you know, If you were to tell them that miracles aren't for today, they would look at you like you are the biggest idiot on the planet because they're constantly happening with them. And so, but they saw this completely cleared up. And those guys, these two guys, I call them the Sons of Thunder, because they have just been blowing it up ever since. And I told them, I said, your first, you know, your first miraculous healing was a real big one. You didn't just catch a minnow; you caught a whale on your first one. And so they were, because they were literally watching it clear up right up under their hands. And so they've been going and seeing all kinds. So out of that, they started going into to imams and asking if they could pray for them, the imams that had COVID. And they were getting healed. They had tons of people that got healed from COVID and have now started following Christ. So it's just incredible. So it's the same sort of, that's the reason why I said it's the same training, you know, giving here as giving there. Anyway, usually when I tell that story, people like, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. But you, no, just sit there. You guys missed it. All right, praise God. If you're in pain in your body now, anywhere, knees, heels, feet, head, whatever, stand up. There's also somebody having a particular issue. I think it's with your elbow, and I'm not sure if it's like in, I'm feeling like, I'm not sure which side it's on, but you're feeling an issue in your elbow that's, I think it may have been there for a while. Is there anybody having that in your elbow? Two of you? Okay. Three of you? Okay. Yeah, that's going to go tonight too. Somebody else struggling with migraines. I'm not sure if you're having migraines now. I don't think you are. But you have migraines on a regular basis. Who's that? Okay. Two, three. Okay. Anybody else? And you don't have to be in the throes of it right now. You have that? Okay. And then also, now I'm calling out that the people may not be in the pain right now. Most of them are, but some of them may not be. But I'm just sensing that we're supposed to pray for those particular thing. And then there's also somebody with a, it's not, again, it may not be hurting now, but there's a problem like in your thigh where that you're having a pain, or it's like, it may be like a, we used to get them when I played sports a lot. Charlie horse, like a gripping where it pulls the muscle. Anybody that has had those or is, okay, all right, cool. I mean, not cool, but, you know, we'll go after that. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Anybody else, anybody, maybe it's blood sugar issues, things like that, that you're not in pain with, but you just have issues, you can stand up too if you have anything like that where you need healing of that. Somebody having a heart issue, something with the heart, and I'm not sure if it's a valve issue or something like that, but there's just somebody with a heart issue that it just, since the Lord, is there anybody having that? If you're having that here? Okay, yep, it's way here. Okay, so here's what I want you guys to do. This is how we're finishing out tonight, is that I don't want anybody standing alone, okay? So you guys who are standing, raise your hand up there. Okay, now if you're sitting, I want you to go at least, I mean, there may be enough for two on one, but at least have everybody covered here that has their hand up. So stand up and go to somebody who has their hand up. They may be close, they may be far, but don't leave them standing alone. Raise your hand kind of high so everybody can see it, or they won't be able to see your hand, okay? And then when they come to you to pray for you, if they're like, hey, I'm going to pray for you, then drop your hand. So if somebody's there to pray for you, put your hand down so that we know that. So there's a lady right there nobody's going to, and there's a bunch of people around. Yeah. Okay, there's another lady back over there with nobody. Somebody go to her back in the back there. Okay, great. A gentleman over here that we were praying for before, somebody make sure and put your hand on him that you're going to pray for him. Anybody else? Everybody got? Okay, you guys are together? Okay. Now, guys, here's the rules. You're not allowed to ask for God to come and heal them. That's an unbiblical prayer. Jesus never said to the disciples, go to the towns and villages and ask me to come there and heal them. Asking Jesus to come and heal somebody is like you asking your boss to come do your job for you. Jesus said, heal the sick. You're using your authority that Christ has given you. Is he the healer? Yes, but where is he? Inside of you. Are you doing something? Yes. Whenever you pray for people and they get healed, don't say, I didn't do anything. That's not true. You obeyed. You activated. You used authority given to you. You did do something. Don't say, oh, that wasn't me. I didn't do anything. That's not even a biblical response. Peter and John didn't say, we didn't do anything at Acts 3 when the man was lame and he went walking and leaping, as we remember from Children's Church and Praising God. They didn't say we didn't do anything. They said, if you think we did this by our own power, you're wrong. This was by Christ's power. So this is you're pointing to Christ, but you're not. But they didn't say we didn't do anything. Don't say that. So you're activating your faith, your power. So you guys who are in pain, check that area right now and give them a number of where the pain or disease, if it's not, if it's blood sugar, if it's somebody with pain, with issues with insulin, with low or high blood sugar, you can command a brand new pancreas. Why? Where does this body come from? The earth. Dirt. What has God given Adam and Eve, us, dominion over? The earth. So when we're commanding a body to be healed, we're taking dominion over the earth. And we're commanding it to come back under the lordship of Christ, which he intended it to be under the whole time. Does that make sense? So you're not asking God to come and heal anybody, because that is not a biblical prayer. But, Father, I thank you, because we come in the presence of thanksgiving. Now, be healed. Back straighten up. You know, pain get out. Blood flow, be normal. Pancreas, produce the right amount. Command the body. You're not commanding the individual. You're commanding the body to respond to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Okay, so do it now. Ask them. Check and tell them where the pain level is. Give them a number if you can. If there's not a number to check, and just pray. And then have them check. Pray again if you need to. If there's no change, or if it increases, or there's no significant change, bind the spirit of infirmity and command it to stop manifesting. And then get a number again. If they go to 5 or lower, you don't have to spend a long time praying. It can be a short prayer. If God shows you something, give that. But if they are 5 or lower from when they started, begin to clap so we can celebrate with you. Amen. If they're lower than 5, if they started at 10 and they're lower than 5, you always want to clap and give thanksgiving, because if you don't, God won't keep doing it. He responds to thankfulness. I learned that the hard way in my life. Don't treat this like, it happens everywhere. And it'll leave if you do that. God wants to be pursued and valued. Amen. Got about 3 or 4 of you? Bless you. Thank you. Remember, if they're five or lower, begin to clap so we can give thanks with you. Amen. Amen. If you're done and it's done, or you just feel a release, then ask them if there is there something else you can pray for them for. If you came to watch one person pray for a bunch of people, you came to the wrong meeting. I came to activate you. So pray, just pray for them and bless them a little bit more.